Been married 42 years. She can't hear that one. All right, Mike. I want to say thank you for allowing me to be here, and I pray that I'm able to fill in for Tim. I really apologize for him not being able to be here, but there's a story that I want to share with you. It's called Redneck Lent. Each Friday night after work, Bubba would fire up his outdoor grill and cook a venison steak. But all of Bubba's neighbors were Catholic, and since it was Lent, they were forbidden from eating meat on Friday. The delicious aroma from the grilled venison steaks were causing such a problem for the Catholic faithful that they finally talked to their priest. The priest came to visit Bubba and suggested that he become Catholic. After several classes and much study, Bubba attended Mass. And as the priest sprinkled holy water over him, he said, "You were born a Baptist. You were raised a Baptist, but now you're a Catholic." Bubba's neighbors were greatly relieved until Friday night arrived, and the wonderful aroma of grilled venison filled the neighborhood. The priest was called immediately by the neighbors, and as he rushed into Bubba's yard, he prepared to scold him. He stopped and watched in amazement. There stood Bubba, clutching a small bottle of holy water, and he carefully sprinkled it over the grilling meat and chanted, "You was born a deer, you was raised a deer, but now you're a catfish." The moral of that story, we must change. We can be like the man in the story. They thought he had changed. But did he? Or had he learned how to play the game? What is a friend? Well, the dictionary's definition says, a person attached to another by feelings of affection or personal regard. A person who gives assistance, patron, a supporter. A person who's on good terms with another. A person who's not hostile. A member of the same nation or party. A member of the religious society of friends. They're called Quakers. It's rare to be befriended. Make friends with, to enter into friendly relations with, to become a friend to. Synonyms for friend could be comrade, chum, crony, confidant, acquaintance, backer, advocate, ally, associate, or compatriot. An antonym to that would be an enemy or a foe. What does the Bible have to say about being a friend? Well, in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 17, a friend loves at all times. A brother is born for adversity. Those are nice words, but what do they actually mean? That means no matter what you do, you're going to be there for them. Doesn't matter how much they fail or what they do, you're going to be that friend. Oh, we all have fair weather friends that when it gets hard and things get tough, they bail out and go running. But see, a true friend is born for adversity. That means when things get tough and you have a battle to fight, they're there for you. Are you that kind of friend today? Are your friendships born for adversity? Proverbs 18:24 says, a man of many friends comes to ruin. That means you're trying to please everybody, and you're trying to have 1,000 friends. I'm going to tell you what, you can't have 1,000 good friends. I have a lot of acquaintances. I'm going to tell you that most of you here in this room are my acquaintances, and I would call you my friend. But to be a good friend moves you to another level. It goes on to say, but there's a friend who sticks closer than a brother. Closer than blood, closer than just because your last name's the same. You know that friend, that one you can turn to no matter what transpires. When things get tough, that's the kind of friend you want. See, Jesus, in Matthew chapter 11 and Luke chapter 7, he was a friend of tax collectors and sinners. I'm going to ask you a question. Most of us in this room are Christians, if not all of us are Christians. When's the last time you befriended a sinner? You know the guy that's obnoxious and loud and drinks too much, tells dirty jokes. Well, Bob, I don't hang around with those kind of people. If you don't hang around them, who was going to? If they don't see Jesus in you, who are they going to see Jesus in? When's the last time you had them come to your house? I'll just let the Holy Spirit take care of that one, because He can sweep across there and do something I can't do. Because I want you to picture that person that needs your friendship right now. You know the one. The mouthy brother, the uncle, the friend at work that talks too much. In Luke chapter 11, after He had prayed, His disciples watched Him pray and they said, "Wow, you got to help us do this." Well, this is Bob's version. "I want to pray like that. That's the kind of prayer I want to pray." And He taught them. That's where we get the Lord's Prayer. It followed with that. But then He told them a story after that. He said there was a friend that had somebody come over to his house and he needed something. And he didn't have anything to give him. So he went to this other friend's house. And he knocked on the door. And the friend said, "Hey, we're already in bed. My wife and kids are in bed. Leave us alone." If it's after 10 o'clock, you have to knock pretty loud for me to hear you. I wish I didn't have to say that. It gets worse the older I get. But He says a true friend, with persistence in your knocking. There's some people that I don't care if they don't get up. I'm going to keep knocking. I'm going to keep saying, I'm going to go to his house, I'm going to say, "Get up. Get up. I got to have something." And you know, it wasn't for him. He didn't need it for him. Another friend had come to his house, and he said, "I need it for him." That's the kind of friend we need to be. A little bit persistent. In James chapter 2, verse 23, "And the scripture was fulfilled which says, And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him as righteousness, because he was called the friend of God." Let me see your hands. How many of you in here want to be called the friend of God? Let me see your hands. Well, how did he do that? How did Abraham become? Blah, blah, blah. How was Abraham called a friend of God? He put feet on his faith. And he walked it out. He did something with what God gave him. When He said, "Go offer up Isaac," he went and did it. When God told Abraham to do something, he went and did it. When He told him to go to a foreign land, he got up and moved. Many of us miss the friend opportunities because when God speaks to us, we give Him 10 reasons why we can't do it. Everybody say amen. That's good. So you can say that every once in a while. I'm Pentecostal. It's all right. It won't scare me. He put action with his friendship and obedience to God. As state budgets strain over huge debt loads, they are counting increasingly on sin taxes. One of the few reliable sources of revenue in these uncertain economic times. Shame on us. But our government has to rely on sin taxes. States have profited from the public's voracious appetite for easy money, gambling, nicotine, smoking, and booze, alcohol for years. Some are more successful at it than others. A few states generate less than 1% of their budgets, some of the differences can be chalked up to varying rates of addiction. But aggressive tax policy also plays a part. Pennsylvania makes the greatest percent of its revenue from gaming taxes of any state. It charges a 55% tax on slot machine proceeds. Las Vegas only collects 8. More and more men turn to sin instead of friendship. What makes me feel good? What works right now? Because we as friends let each other down. And there we are again, alone, with no one to share our true feelings with. As I was preparing this and I did some Google searches, and things would pop up and I saw things, chat rooms. There's a site called Find a Friend website. Shame on us. The people have to get on the internet to find a friend. All the world is a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. William Shakespeare. What part are you playing today? In pages 57 and 58 of your books, I'm going to read something from there. There's been an interesting development in suburban architecture. Long gone are the days when homes all had large front porches with easy access to the front door, enabling one to become quickly acquainted with others in the neighborhood. In the 1990s, we have architecture which speaks more directly to our current values. The most prominent part of a house seems to be the 2 or 3 car garage. Inside are huge bathrooms with skylights and walk-in closets larger than the bedroom I grew up in. Modern architecture employs small living and dining rooms and now smaller kitchens as well. Rex, can you hear me okay? Am I talking too loud? Because entertaining is no longer a priority. Today's homes boast smaller yards and increasing incidence of high fences. The old adage that a man's house is his castle is coming true today. His castle's moat is his front lawn. The drawbridge is his driveway. And the portcullis is his automatic garage door through which he passes with electronic heraldry. Once inside, he removes his armor and tends to house and hearth until daybreak, when he assumes his executive management and briefcase in hand, mounts his steed. Perhaps it says Ford. It's got some Ford things here, Rex. So perhaps a Jeep or a Cadillac. There you go. Said Bronco or Mustang for you Ford lovers. Mike might be here too. Press the buttons and rides off into the wars. Today's homes reflect our modern values of individualism, isolation, and privatization. There is this cave in the air behind my body that nobody's going to touch. A cloister, a silence, closing around the blossom of fire. It is no longer unusual to not even know the families immediately surrounding one's own house. The average American family moves 4 times, even when the job doesn't force it. People move from house to house looking for that elusive something. We lack roots, continuity, and community. All of which is to say that friendship, especially deep friendship, has fallen on hard times. This is especially true for men. Alan Loy McGinnis, author of the best-selling The Friendship Factor, says that America's leading psychologists and therapists estimate that only 10% of all men ever have any real friends. The decade-long research of 5,000 men and women by Michael McGill, published in 1985, corroborates, he reports. To say that men have no intimate friends seems on the surface too harsh, but the data indicates that it is not far from the truth. Even the most intimate of friendships, of which there are few, rarely approach the depth of disclosure a woman commonly has with many other women. Men do not value friendship. Why is this? Men do not reveal their feelings or weaknesses as readily as women. They gear themselves for the marketplace and typically understand friendships as acquaintances. They just make them along the way, and they use them for whatever it's good for them, rather than as relationships. If you passing meet me and desire to speak to me, why should you not speak to me? And why should I not speak to you? That was a quote by Walt Whitman, Why don't we do it? Because we just don't take the time. I had to ask myself, why are we that way? And I searched me. I said, Lord, why are we that way? We don't want to admit we have faults. If we allow someone else on the inside of our lives, they might see we have faults and failures. But see, if I can keep you at arm's length, I can dress up Bob, make him look good, make him shine. John chapter 15, verses 12 through 17. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than one lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you slaves, for the slave does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. See, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever you ask of the Father in my name, he may give it to you. This I command you, that you love one another. Then why don't we do it? Why don't we go the extra step? Why don't we make the effort? First Corinthians 13, verses 4 through 8. I want you to turn there if you have your Bibles. You've heard this. But it says, love is patient. Love is kind. It's not jealous. Love does not brag. It's not arrogant. Does not act unbecomingly. It does not seek its own, is not provoked, does not take into account a wrong suffered, does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. See, he goes down and tells you later in that chapter, he says, the greatest of these is love. Why are we the way we are? We're selfish. See, true friendship is going to cost you something. Behind every great man, there are those that are dedicated to their relationship, even if it costs them something. Even if their name's not in the headlines. Even if they don't get the credit for it. I gave you on your own to read. And I challenge you to read 1 Samuel chapters 14 through 18. And it tells you a story about Jonathan and David. See, in 1 Samuel chapter 18, it talks about Jonathan's love for David. Now it came about when he had finished speaking to Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as himself. You know how to have a friendship like that? You know how to be knit to somebody? The Holy Spirit has to do that. That's the only way it can happen. I remember Mike's story that he told 3 years ago now, Mike? 4 years? And he talked about all the things that he went through by himself. And nobody was there. You know how to have a friendship knit to somebody else, Andy? It's going to cost you something. You're going to have to give something of yourself. The story goes on and it talks about Jonathan. And he gave David his sword. He gave him his crown. He gave him his very heritage. Why did he do that? Because he acknowledged the anointing on David's life. And he gave him up. He gave up his birthright. He gave up everything that was rightfully his. Because he knew that God had his hand on David. Are you willing to be that kind of friend? See, I don't care if you remember me today. The only thing I've prayed about today is that when you leave this room, that you'll do something different than before you came in. I don't care if Bob Gray gets credit for anything today, but I do want you to make sure that when you leave this room, you're trying to find somebody to be a friend to. A Friend Most True by Wendy Henson. I need to know if you're my true friend. Will you be by my side until the end? Can I tell you my secrets deep and trust them in your heart you'll keep? We are neither of us without our flaws. Can you accept mine as I accept yours? I'll be a shoulder to cry on when you're blue. Will you be there for me when I need you? No matter how busy, I will make time for you. If you're busy, will you make time for me too? I will take your hand and comfort your tears. Will you hold me and soothe my fears? I will give you joy and many warm smiles. Can we share what even across the miles? I will not forget what's important to you. Will you remember what's important to me? With you, my most favorite things I'll share. If only I do, you truly care. If you can accept me as I do you, then I will know you are a friend most true. You know why we're not friends? Because the society, when you wish upon a star, makes no difference who you are. When you wish upon a star, your dreams. Santa Claus, Easter Bunny. See, we know that's not true. I've been to Disney World. It's a great place. But I figured out there is no Santa Claus, no Easter Bunny, no Tooth Fairy. I'm sorry to say today with what Kent Hughes says in this book, there's not many true friends either. Ronald Reagan said, above all, we must realize that no arsenal, no weapon in the arsenals of the world is so formidable as the will and moral courage of free men and women. It is a weapon our adversaries in today's world do not have. Friendship can be the weapon that helps men have courage. Amen? Friendship can be that thing that helps that man step to a new level. Friendship can be that thing that they need so drastically to change their life. We may wonder, is such friendship really possible outside the sacred scriptures, outside the pages of scripture? Can that friendship be? Can it? Is it? To love a person means to see him as God intended him to be. Jonathan saw that in David. I want you to turn when you've got time. I don't have time today. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 20. And it talks about Saul being so mad at Jonathan because he saw the love that Jonathan had for David. No one else will understand the commitment you have for a true friend. But you'll understand it if you do it. Because in giving, you receive. In being a friend, you'll receive a friend. Galatians chapter 6, verse 10 says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the house of the household of the faith. Today, friendship has fallen on hard times. Few men have good friends, much less deep friendships. Individualism, autonomy, privatization, and isolation are cultured cachet. That means we store it up. But deep, devoted, vulnerable friendships are not. We always say, what's in it for me? How can we overcome this culture climate in our lives? You've got to pray. In the book, it talks about a wise old farmer. And a guy comes down the road and he says, hey, are the people in the next town friendly? He says, where are you coming from? Oh, I'm coming from back here. Those people were terrible. They weren't friendly at all. And he said, well, you'll probably find the same thing in the next town. Because if you want to be have a friend, be a friend. If you want to be loved, love somebody else. You have to work at it. We need to work at friendliness. We generally get what we set our sights on. Those who have friends place great importance on those friendships. and you have to listen. There's a reason that God gave you two ears and one mouth. Some of us haven't learned that yet. That's accountability, friend. We must set ourselves against a cultural consciousness and pursue and practice friendship if we are to be all God wants us to be. We must set ourselves against a cultural consensus. I'll get there. And pursue and practice friendship if we are to be all God wants us to be. A True Friend by Ashley Montgomery. A true friend never walks away. A true friend will always stay. A true friend looks out for you. A true friend will guard your secrets like a precious gift. A true friend is there for you to give you a helpful lift. A true friend tries to make you smile, tries to replace that frown. They may not always succeed, but they rarely let you down. These arms for you are open. This heart for you does care. And when I think you need me, I'll try to always be there. I'll listen to your fears. I promise not to laugh. Comfort your falling tears. I'll make this friendship last. I'll keep you near to my heart. I'll always hold you dear. Even when we're miles apart, even when you're here. I hope I am to you everything you are to me. For the friendship we have is special one indeed. Without the power of the Holy Spirit, you cannot be the friend you need to be today. I want every table to stand, and I want you to hold hands with each other. There are men at that table today that need you to be their friend. The question becomes, are you willing to be that? Look them in the eyes. Don't look down at the table. Look at each other. Because it takes commitment. There's people at your table that need your love. They need your friendship. Are you willing to get outside your comfort zone and be the friend they need? Let's pray. Father, I pray that the seeds that need planted today will be planted deep in each one of our hearts. Lord, we repent for not being what you've called us to be. But we make a commitment today, Lord, if you'll help us. We'll look for him this week, Lord. And we'll try to be the friend that you are to us, to someone else. Move by your Spirit, by your power, and accomplish everything that needs to be accomplished in each man in this room. We pray this in Jesus' name. And every man said, you can be seated.